Shoe America! Welcome to the tall war. Our loyalty lies only with warrior, and they will scrap only if I give them the order. And you feeling itchy, you got something to say? Just know we hop this way. Nobody else is suited for this other than us. I know it's crazy, but we work with it and don't give a what? Welcome to the show. If you don't know the name, we call it Hop This Way.
Welcome back, everybody, to all our itchy onions from one side of the salt to the other side of the salt. It is we three. That's right. It's just the three of us right now, but just for right now with the Hop This Way show, your favorite town covering your favorite show, Warrior. That's right. Coming out soon, February, Netflix. Get to stream all three seasons. Get that going, folks, and let's get a season four. Joining me this week, the ever awesome, the ever violent and deadly, the one, the only, but equally beautiful, Miss Stephanie Young. How you doing?
Hello. Hello. The weapons are all around me. Don't worry. I'm protected.
I have a feeling, Stephanie, no matter what's around you is a weapon.
Evil chuckle.
I'm the only thing that's next to you. I feel like I'm getting picked up and used as that weapon. So much love. Thank you so much. And how's Boston this week?
Oh, it's cold. It's icy. It's icy. So it's good to be inside bundled up.
I hear you. Same here in Niagara. And I don't think it's too icy for the very lovely, our yogi herself, Miss Rebecca Nishi, the Warrior Geek. How are you, ma'am?
I'm fine. Yeah, it's not icy. He's very, very hot.
Oh.
Extremely hot in Brazil.
And rub I'm
always happy. Always happy to be here with you guys. I love this show. So let's go for another one.
Yes, yes, yes. Now, folks, you might be noticing that we are down a couple people from the Tongue. Of course, Money Matt Chua and the Professor Frank Jean, they're just trying to catch up real quick. They are en route from classes right now, so they will be here as soon as they can. But you know what? This week, we got it covered. We got a little backup this week. And I think, you know, when you're talking about backup, one of the biggest characters that shows that they've got someone's back on the show, and that's having Officer Lee's back, that is none other than the awesome Abigail. One of our favorite characters on the show. Y'all know her, and you all love her. And folks, we are absolutely happy to have her here. Please wait for me to butcher her name, but it's Gassi Rathal. How are you? Thank you so much for doing this.
Yay! Thank you for having me, guys. I'm super duper excited, and I was telling you guys earlier that I'm wearing
your uniform
Bruce Lee all the way. I love it. Representing. Thanks so much for doing this. This is an absolute honor being on the show and coming in and joining our Tongue this week. Tell us, though, what is it like? What can you tell us about joining this cast? Everyone talks about that familial feeling that there is with being a part of the Warrior cast. What is it like for you?
Can you please repeat that question? I was cutting a bit. I don't know if my network is acting weird, but it was perfect just before.
Oh, well, it's because we went live. That's usually how it happens. No, I was just asking.
Sorry, I didn't catch the first question.
No problem. I was just asking, tell me what it's like joining the Warrior family.
I joined the Warrior family in season one. Even with the smallest role, I played Nora.
Oh.
And I loved every single cast member. Like, till today, this is literally one of my favorite sets to work on. Everyone is incredible, and also they're incredibly talented as well. So it's like good people with great talent. Like, that combination is just like out of this world. So I love it.
Awesome. Now, so give us a little bit of your origin story, if you will. Tell us how you got into acting and how you got to where you are now.
Okay, so I grew up in Botswana. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that country. It's right next door. It's a neighboring country to South Africa. But then one day, the brave 13-year-old me said to my parents, I want to be an actress. And I mean, I watched a lot of American television. A lot of us down here do. And a lot of Chinese films as well. And I remember saying to my parents, I need to leave Botswana and go to South Africa because, you know, I want an early start when it comes to like acting training. And I've seen the Americans do it early. And I just don't want to be disadvantaged. So that's how I migrated or moved to South Africa. And I've schooled here and I've lived here ever since.
What? Did it take you a while to acclimate to South Africa?
It did. It did take me a little bit of some time, especially because I was in boarding school away from my family at the age of 13, you know, just being out there by myself and, you know, figuring the world out by myself. You know, of course, I still talk to my family. I still kept in touch. But yeah, it's always tough, especially at that age, you know, to come into a different country and try to find yourself within it.
And jump forward, and now you're directing as well.
Yes, so I started off actually in this industry, theater directing. I started off directing a play or two for the Market Theater, which is a reputable theater here in Johannesburg, actually. So my background is in that, only for me to then now pursue filmmaking. So I have a master's in filmmaking, directing, and so I'm trying to branch into that. But my skills are more in theater directing now. So I've directed more plays than films, and then films is just, it's just been more short films, which haven't been out there. But I'm trying to get my foot in professionally now.
I love it. Now, Being from a theater background, and I know because I did theater growing up, and you know that's what I had went to school for, and trying to make that transition to TV, I know for a lot of theater kids, like we call ourselves theater kids, no matter how old we get, but it's a difficult transition for each of us for different reasons. Did you find that being a different a hard thing to try to navigate, and if so, what were some of the obstacles?
I mean, some of the obstacles were more, for me, it was more technical stuff. So for instance, just movements and blocking for the camera, you know, those were more of the difficult things, or just being right under the finding the light type of things. Because sometimes you're so immersed in the scene that you forget that there are all these different technical things which come into play when it comes to film. But in general, I didn't struggle as much. It's as if, I don't know, I feel like I was somewhat prepared to jump on screen because on stage I tended to be a lot smaller than my peers. So my lecturers were like, you belong on screen. And I used to take so much offense to that. I was like, oh, you guys want to say I'm a bad actress? You know? So for me, I didn't struggle with the bigness or the, you know, like, you know how they say theater students tend to be way too big for the screen, so yes, that wasn't much of a struggle for me because clearly I was always encouraged to go for the TV acting.
Yeah, I was the other way. I'm still having a hard time just bringing it down, just even here. Right. It's hard though because you're told, right, act to the person in the back in the back row, right?
Yes. So,
right. And then when you get on screen, they're like, yes, and exactly. You're on site, and it's like, make it small, people, make it small. That's great. So tell me a little bit about Abby. Like, Abby is such a strong character, but she's changed so much from season one to season three, and especially with her relationship with Lee.
Right. So I'm just going to start off with Nora first. So Nora was Lee's first. I don't know if the audience was able to decipher that, because I think some people think Abigail is Nora and Nora is Abigail, no, because they're performed by the same characters. Hopefully people are able to distinguish. But Nora forms the backstory of Lee, like why he came to San Francisco, what's going on with him and his dark past. You know, she was his first love interest before Abigail came through. I think Abigail comes through in the second season, actually, where she resembles, I think this was the idea, where she resembles Lee's love, old love interest. Obviously, she's not aware of that, but she sees opportunity in a man coming into her bar or into the bar and asking for drugs. I think it's opium.
Long decides
to... and decides to basically take advantage of this man who she inevitably or falls in love with, you know. So it's been it's a colorful journey that Abigail has taken. And of course for myself, because I got, you know, I got just a little bit of background for the character because she's supporting a lead. But I always give myself like even more. I do my own little research and I add nuances, but I came to understand that she was a free slave. Obviously, she wouldn't be able to, in the 1800s, operate, you know, or work in a bar if she wasn't, you know. So
right.
There's a freedom she has for the time she lives in, but also many constraints for the time she lives in, as is the case for all the other Asian characters in the story.
There's so much depth and thought put into each character. How much leeway does Jonathan Tropper and the writers give a lot of the actors and I don't know, like even yourself to fleshing out your characters, or is that all kind of JT and his writing team?
I mean, the writing is brilliant, so there's no need to change anything. Like it's beautifully written. There's so many layers. Like anyone who'd want to ad lib or add spices to the script would just be ruining it. So
yeah.
I think the there is leeway when you are in the space, like because the writing is so nuanced. There's so many different ways or different journeys you can travel, you know, or offers that you can give as an actress.
Yeah.
On that set, so I never felt quite like restrained by the fact that I have to keep word for word, if that makes any sense. So I found a great freedom in knowing that the writing helped me.
I like it.
I have one little question actually to jump in. Very important. We have seen, you know, Tom as such a jokester. So what was that like? Was it just pure comedy off, you know, off screen? Were there shenanigans and practical jokes happening all the time?
Of course, we had I was really, really, really lucky to work with Tom. He's an incredible persona. It made it so much easier, obviously, like, you know, to have off screen chemistry as friends and then to be able to bring it on screen, you know, and whenever I felt the need, whenever I felt like maybe I was shrinking in moments, he was there to hold me down as well, which is absolutely fantastic to get from a co-actor. So I loved every minute. And for sure, he is a jokester, and I definitely enjoyed the work with him.
And,
Are you a jokester yourself? Do you do pranks?
I don't do pranks, actually. I'm not that. I don't take it that far, but I do believe that my humor can be a bit... that's great. Sometimes. Yeah.
I dig it. Rebecca, do you have a question?
I was going to say that in the end of season 3, Abigail and Lucy O'Hara became friends, and Emily lives there in South Africa. Did you connect with her also? She is very our friend now.
I did. And it's crazy that I only met her in the... There we go. It's crazy that I met her. Actually, then we went to the theater with that picture. It's crazy that I only got to meet her in this third season. So these other seasons, I think we were scheduled for different, I guess, time days or Tuesdays. And I love her, let me tell you. I thought she was Irish this whole time. I was like, girl, you're South African? No way. I find her to be such an incredible, believable actress. Like, she is literally one of my favorite characters. And I told her that. I was like, I love everyone's acting, but you and Bill give me life.
Yeah.
Honestly. Right.
They are my favorite couple. I'm sorry. Nothing.
Rebecca, we talked about this. Come on.
I'm the one who's supposed to say that, not you.
I'm sorry. I mean, I love every couple, but they are so... They are so like perfect.
Yeah, no, they're absolutely amazing. The chemistry there, I swear, they just feel like a real life. It just got sliced out of life and thrown on screen. So I love both of them.
Love it. That's great. And it just seems everyone we talk to just talks about nothing but good times on the show. And I've never seen actors and creative and everyone all around a production fight as hard as they do for this show, not just once, right, but now a second time to bring it back. Can you talk about that a little bit? Like, what is it about this show and about this cast and crew that brings you all such joy and such passion?
I promise you, I thought about it today and I was like, what is it about, you know, this show? But I think everyone got, it almost feels like everyone was nitpicked, you know, from different walks of life. Symphony, it just makes sense. And also I think more than anything, everyone has respect for each other. There's absolute love and kindness on the set. I'm not going to lie, I've been on different kinds of sets and I'm not going to be out here bad mouthing other sets, but this is by far my favorite set, if I'm just to be that honest. So I think it's just the different energies which came together. I don't know how the team was able to put together people with such incredible energy, you know? So I think, and beyond that, also the history of Bruce Lee having written this story, this epic tale. I grew up watching Bruce Lee. I mean, back at home, we just used to watch a lot of Asian movies. In that time, we didn't even understand Mandarin or any of the other dialects or languages, but we would, the visuals were just so encapsulating, like so captivating that you just know what is happening in the story, you know? Ivan knew that a character named Tom Paul somewhere, if he cut his hair, he would lose his, he wouldn't be able to fight. So for me, honestly, I feel like the spirit of Bruce Lee and his philosophies and what he stood for also just lives within this production. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I think that's what it is. And lastly, my heart kind of sank a bit when I heard that the show was dropped. And I was like, no, this is literally one of the best series, not because I'm in it, but honestly, cinematography, story, actors, everything, it's honestly one of the best shows I've personally ever watched. And I think we all acknowledge the greatness and the gravitas of this particular show. And this is why we'll fight tooth and nail to have it back as many times as we can, obviously.
Well, that leads to a question. How did it feel when season 3 was picked up? How did that feel for you?
I was so excited. I actually cried. I was like, oh my gosh, this is beautiful. And also to learn that my character had grown as well. You can imagine for me, I was like, oh my gosh, I need to work harder. I need to really push and bleed. I always say I bleed for my characters. I need to bleed for Abigail, you know, because she took me from this point. Like, I started off as a small Nora character. Now the season's coming back and now they've grown Abigail, you know? And I was extremely elated, nervous, but I was like, you know what? I have to push harder.
Sorry about spoilers, but I'm glad you got to shoot him in the end.
It was only fitting.
Are you talking about Happy Jack?
Yes.
He wasn't too happy at the end there.
Just have to mention,
he wasn't
regarding this growth of Abigail, John the Trooper made a special post about Abigail on his Instagram account, talking about you, how you like gained their hearts and everything, and how amazing actors you are. It's so nice.
Jonathan Chopper, really, honestly, but I mean, I was always aware that, I was made aware after shooting the first season with that little small, you know, character who comes in, and I think at the time he had actually mentioned to me that some of the scenes that we shot they'd have to just remove so that I'm mentally prepared, because they can't have me as the same person, because they felt I was strong as a performer, they would bring me back as somebody else, you know. And so I was like, okay. And for the fact that he kept his word for me as well, it's like, again, it speaks back to the kind of people we're working with here, like, you know, people who keep their word. You know, he didn't have to. I'm just an African child from Botswana, you know, who he gave an opportunity to, which I was already grateful for, by the way, because that's all I knew I'd play, and I just did the best I could. And for him to then now, you know, make that happen, I swear, I'm still in awe of this man, his art, his craft, his heart. And yeah, I'm even getting a bit emotional. But yes, it's meant so much, that post, when I saw it.
It's great, though. And we see Jonathan there on the post with Shannon and Justin Lin. And we talked about the cast and how great a cast is, and how you know, it takes just the right cast for, you know, it to feel like a proper show. And we're kind of lucky like that as well, because we've got our good cast here, but it's not complete without having the professor himself and, of course, Money Matt Chu, although Money's looking a little dark there. Where's there, Matt?
I have no idea what happened. All of a sudden, I was ready to go, and then shit just stopped.
The family's all here. So, Abigail, this is, as you can see right below me, this is Money Matt Chu. And then to your other side is the professor, Frank Zhang. Welcome to the show, folks.
Yeah, thanks for joining us.
Now, did you guys have a question for Abigail at all before we get moving along?
No, just sitting in the green room, just listening to you guys a little bit, and just hearing about her experience was really cool. Just curious. The way this show's gone, right? We had the two seasons. We had the first two seasons. Towards the end of the second season, your characters started to emerge, right? Mm-hmm. And then we had a 3-year break. So what's that emotional roller coaster like for you guys as a cast and crew? Like, what's the conversation like in the group chats or any communication? Like, what's your thought process like for as an actor, knowing that maybe you're going to have a bigger role? How much did you know before the third season got picked up about it? Right.
I think I got told it was quite a significant time before, but not much longer. I think it was around about it was like maybe nine months, maybe a year, actually. I knew that that the show would possibly be coming back. You know, obviously we have to talk to production, negotiate possible, you know, contracts, so that we're not all on different projects at different times. But coming back after so long was quite difficult for me, because obviously you grow as a person firstly, and I always say if you grow as a person, you grow as an artist. Like, who you are informs your art and your work. And I was like, I don't know where I'd pitch this character. So I actually had to, in terms of me personally, in terms of my own process, was to have obviously conversations with Lee as leading up to that. So thankfully we're friends, so I'm able to reach out, and he's able to reach out, you know, to have conversations about such. And because he's the primary character I work with. And what else did I do? Yes, and I had to rewatch the whole season and then tell myself, if I've grown, it's a different time. Time has elapsed. So surely there can be new nuances, you know, without forgetting the essence of who the character is. There can be new nuances that I add to Abigail. So that for me is how I did it. Just rewatching, talking to fellow actors, and and just allowing myself to be an older version of Abigail.
Now we talked a little bit about the writing and any influence that you may or may not have, because, you know, the writing is so great on these shows. Did you, like, when you were going through this and you're thinking about how much you grew as a person and how much Abigail grew, can you just kind of touch on that, on how much that influences your performance, you know, from day to day? And was your vision for where Abigail was different than, or much different than, what the writers had?
Oh, funny enough, it wasn't really. I don't know. I feel like I got the sense of who the character was within the second season. As soon as they introduced her, I was like, okay, there is, there's a roughness, or I don't want to call it a brokenness, but for lack of a better term, I'd say a brokenness about this character. And certain things that I did feel like she would lean more into the gangster world, even though in season 3 she does come through with a softer energy and more loving energy. Yes, so that would be the difference. But I don't believe that that's completely gone, because here she is. She killed her. I don't know if this is a spoiler. She kills her own brother-in-law, you know. So I feel like that rawness in her still exists, which was set up already in the second season. So I wouldn't know where they're taking it, what season, but for me, I'd expect her to just be out here just, you know, taking people down. So I do think the writing and my ideas were sort of, you know, close.
And I think we all agree that Happy Jack deserved everything he got.
Everything he got, but I love Nat as a person, though. Right? So that was a very complicated one for me. So Nat and I, funny enough, we've worked together before Warrior. We worked together on another local production where he's the lead. And he's a villain on the story, but he plays it completely different from how he plays Jack. So now when he came onto Warrior, you can imagine the excitement. I was like, there's no way. We're both on the same set again, you know? So when I had to shoot the scene, it was quite difficult for me because I had to say to myself, Kelsey, step out, you know, step out of the actual, the personal, and just, it was very, very difficult for me. It actually haunted me for some reason, like for about a week. I couldn't believe my eyes. I was like, Jack is dying. My friend is going to leave me. So it was quite complicated, but the character did deserve to die. The actor, it was just very complicated for me.
Wow. I mean, that's one of the things that I always think is for actors got to be really cool, though, when you do get onto a set and you see someone you've worked with and you trust and that you really like. Because that's a big thing I find is the trust factor. Because if you don't trust someone you're acting with, it's next to impossible to get anything done.
I know, it's difficult. Mm. And Warrior was not the case.
Speaking about a rough environment, I always want to know if the actors on the show were fans of Bruce Lee before. You already said that you were. But you spoke about, you know, the artistical impact that he had on you, but also he always have some impact on people regarding fighting the oppressor, you know, fighting for the minorities. I don't know how in Botswana was, but in South Africa we have all these race issues.
Right.
And so did he ever impacted you in that area, like have to fight for our rights, you know, people of color and etc.?
I'd say more of his be like water, my friend, you know, like his philosophies are I don't know if I could say it would apply to the context here in terms of race, but in terms of humanity and understanding life and certain life philosophies, I'd say definitely. You know, his ideas for me also introduced me to a lot of, well, it roused a curiosity in me about a lot of, I don't know if I should call it Asian philosophy or Eastern, is it Eastern? It's Eastern philosophy, right?
Yeah.
Correct? Somebody please correct me. I don't want to be
too it is.
But yeah, Eastern philosophy. So in the sense of understanding self, knowing self, you know, respecting self, respecting other, that kind of thing, yes. But in terms of race, I wouldn't say for me personally as much.
Yeah, it's a tough thing. But I remember, you know, just growing up and watching him, and then like you watch the movies and he's got Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in there with him, you know, or Chuck Norris.
I was such a fan, by the way. I'm not just finding out. Anyway, you can speak. Sorry for interjecting.
Yeah, no, and I'm just saying, like, it's that's one thing with Bruce Lee, just seems so inclusive in every movie in a time where that wasn't a thing. And I grew up, I'm probably the old one here, or me and Steph, but I'll say I'm the old one. But I remember growing up watching the reruns of Green Hornet. You know, and just being like, you know, a man of the people. So, I, at least speaking for myself, I always found that Bruce was kind of that bridge for every culture and every race, and he was our Gandhi through fisticuffs.
Yeah,
you can hit me for that later.
I have to repeat myself always because she said, like, it seems like everyone was picked, like, individually to be there, to be part of the cast, and everything flows, I'm sorry, and everybody's get connected and get along and etc. And it's very Bruce Lee, it's very one family, it's very like one human to another. And so I believe he's always there, the spirit of Bruce Lee, or that energy, you know.
Right.
That's for your family.
I would totally agree. I think his spirit is definitely on that side because, like I said, it's so exceptional. I feel bad for saying this on a live, but I'm going to say it anyway. I'll take the bullet. It's literally the best that I've ever been on. I mean, woo-hoo! Any other producer who would hate on me will have to excuse me. It honestly is. So I would agree with you, Rebecca, in saying that the spirit is definitely there on that set because the unity, the synergy, the vibes are just, it's just, I don't know, it's just proper.
That just leads me to really saying thank you for being on the show, because the timing of this right now for us to be able to, you know, like last week we had Larissa on and we have other guests coming on. The fact that you are right here when, you know, it's about to, you know, lead over to Netflix, when we need to fight for a season four, when we just came off of the strike, and the timing of this is just perfect because it gives us some momentum. We have, you know, we have a platform and multiple ways to connect. It just means a lot. It means a lot to all of us. And I think the timing is just wonderful. Wonderful. Because now and this I'm leads right into us fighting.
Yes, exactly. And I'm super grateful. I mean, when Rebecca reached out, I was like, definitely. I'm definitely going to. You know, for Warrior, definitely. Who doesn't want to come back on that set for season four? And I feel like a lot of the story is not finished. It's unfinished business. So we do need to personally. That's what I think.
Zeus, what do you say that everyone calls it the little show that, you know, the little show that could?
The little show that could, or the little show that just wouldn't stop. we love the show. We've been doing this since... well, geez, Warrior was off the air when we started, right?
Yeah.
In season two, like I believe, because it was still on Cinemax actually when we started doing the show.
That's a while ago.
Yeah.
I think it was in March of 21.
Pardon me?
March of 21 or February of 21 or so. I think that we were.
I'm going to say yes. We got a couple comments here. Sorry.
Yay!
Derek says, Housey is perfect as Abigail. Was the casting very competitive? And how did the growth of the character mesh with her initial understanding of Abigail? And did she know who Bruce Lee was before Warrior? Now, you've already said that you knew Bruce Lee ahead of time, but can you speak to the rest of that, though? What was the casting process like?
Okay, so my audition was in Johannesburg, South Africa. And obviously, as you can hear, my accent is very different from Abigail's accent. So, yes, that always just puts a layer to it, like in terms of challenging. Yes, it was quite competitive, actually. I remember going in, but I said, I have to get this role because, again, in as much as the sides were quite short, if you go to enough auditions, you know a good script. You know, and I think a lot of us could see, you know, that this was a great script, even though we didn't know who was the producer or anything like that. We just knew it was an international production and you had to come through hot with your accent, you know, whatever you'd prepared. So, yes, it was highly, 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 highly competitive. So when the costume director gave me a thumbs up to say I got the role, I was elated beyond.
You and us all. I mean, and I think you've actually absolutely nailed it. I'm with a lot of the commentators
here.
RCR. Hey, RCR, what's up, buddy? Says, we fight for you and everyone who makes the show. Thank you. Matt Chua's arch nemesis, the bombshell blurred, says, definitely unfinished business.
Definitely.
Yeah. What is, in your perfect world, how does Warrior finish? Is it one more season? Is it six seasons in a movie? What is the perfect finish for Warrior?
Again, I thought about that today. I was like, how many seasons should come back? Of course, you know, for up to me, there'd be a whole lot of seasons, you know, like Game of Thrones had a lot of seasons. And I'm like, Warrior can actually, you know, be that franchise series which could grow more and more. So I don't know if I have a number in mind. But I know, I feel like definitely more than one, definitely more than two, maybe three, four, you know,
I like
that
it.
Would be great.
Matt's just keep counting.
I mean, we can keep it pushing. I mean, I'm with whatever.
Listen, if the Simpsons can get, what are they in, 20-something right now?
But the Simpsons are time travelers. They can go for as long as they want. They
fine. I'm trying to stop sounding like the very old guy here. MASH, the TV series, went for 22 years. 22 seasons. I think Warrior, we can at least get six.
I miss that show.
Zeus, what was it like when the TV first came out?
What was it like when what came out?
The TV first came out.
You have to, like, I hate you, things like, do you gotta,
I hate you.
Wait, you know what? I'm older than Zeus.
Listen,
I'm an old lady over here.
You have to stand in one place like this, and then you're told you don't move until, like, how was that? I'm curious.
See, this show was going so much better when they weren't here, right? I'm just saying.
Did you stand on top of the TV? Did you stand next to it? Did you stand outside on the roof? Like, what was it?
Listen, TV, the invention of TV was nowhere near as cool when we first got fire.
You guys
used
aerials back then. Do you know aerials?
You're not hoping.
Yes. Let's keep roasting. Yes.
I took all this time trying to learn how to pronounce your name properly and get the
Hossie.
And this is how I'm treated.
No, but then you got it right before, and then when it came to introduce it,
oh, I know.
It was gone. So this is my revenge.
Like, I lost the first name. I lost the last name. I lost it all. And I'm like, let's just say it as quick as I possibly can. I do the same thing with my Mandarin lessons. It's not good. All right. Before we completely go off the rails here, folks, you've heard us mention a few times about how we'd love to see Warriors saved. There's a lot you can do. If you can see below, on our crawl there, we've got a few hashtags that if you're putting up any post about Warrior and you want Netflix to see it, don't do that last one that says Warrior Max. Do Warrior Netflix now.
We need to update that. We need to update that one.
And that's why I just updated it to Rebecca Nishi. Folks, go ahead, use some hashtags there. Renew Warrior. Let's see what we can do about adding at least two more seasons. Hey, let's get a movie out of this.
Keep signing the petition, please.
Yes,
keep signing that petition. Keep things going. Patricia Boyer said, Patricia! Patricia!
Hello! Patricia!
Patricia, who is maybe the scariest person in all of season 3 of Warrior.
Brilliant.
We love you, Patricia. Thank you for coming on. I just went on YouTube and this live popped up. Hossie, brilliant actress representing South African actors. And RCR says, I still suggest a second screening. Hell to the yes. Lots of fun here. And so good. We're going to see Patricia coming up on the show pretty soon. So keep your eyes peeled for that one. We have been so incredibly lucky, blessed, whatever adjective you would like to use to describe just how immensely lucky again, I'll say, that we've been to have a lifeline to this show and to have so many of the cast and crew come on here. And I mean, not just actors like yourself, but I mean, we have Rez on here, you know, representing the sound and the music. And, you know, we have Brett come on that help out with the stunt performers. Yes, he'll be on again, folks. but this show, I mean, I have never seen a show that has dedicated so much love out to their audience that this show does. And there's not really a question, more of just a blanket statement. And I don't know, what would you say to that, I guess? Why would you think that is? That you treat us fans so great.
That was that we treat you so great.
Yeah, like the fans. Because it seems like Warren,
we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the fans of the show. The petitioning, the energy. I mean, when I found out that Warrior was no longer picked up by HBO and has now migrated to Netflix, I actually went online immediately. And I think it was Curious or these different social media sites, because I just got that curious. And the fans were there by the numbers within the first, I think it was the first 2-3 hours, I was in awe, you know, of that. And I don't think the show would be what it is without its supporters, to be honest. So I'm hoping that, you know, with it being on Netflix, people will tune in and we'll get, did you say 4 more seasons?
Well, I'll say 4 more seasons. Let's take 4.
Season 4. Yeah, so tune in into season 4, February 16th. Like, we really want this show to do well, to come back again, because it's honestly worth the fight.
I think Netflix is going to do it. I mean, I think I really have a lot of faith in it. Number one, you're actually going to have a very busy, you know, time period right now for Netflix, because you have something else coming out too, correct? Or just came out?
Yes.
What was the name?
Came out. It's called Soon Comes Night. It's a South African Netflix show based on the life of Colin Chauke. So it's quite a political, engaging, another political engaging show with a lot of action, shooting, you know. Only difference is that I, even though I don't like this term, I'll use it again, the damsel in distress. So I'm pretty stoked and excited for that. And I have another project coming up that I'm not going to talk about that. And it's a Netflix show. So hopefully Netflix pulls through.
Did anyone see that Escape Plan, at least over here in the US, I was binge watching. And I came across, I've never heard of them, but Escape Plan, Sylvester Stallone. And I'm watching the second one, and who's in the second one? But Chen and Johnny Yang. I'm like, wait, what? So, timing Netflix-wise, I think this is working in our favor.
I hope so. And I've been tagging them. I've been posting as much as possible. That's the show. So hopefully we'll get the traction. We'll get the fans coming through for us again. And we love you and appreciate you.
Now, everyone who comes on the show, there is a bit of discomfort that we need to put you through, especially if it's your first time in, because you can't just come into our tong and come out unaffected. And you can't just come into our tong and just become a member. That's not the way things work. And the way things work here is that you have to get burned into our tong by the enforcer himself, Money Matt Chua. That's the one guy that gets you into our tongue. I'm gonna let Matt explain it to you, just in case you don't know. Matt, when you're ready, sir.
Are you ready? You can explain. For some shit? No. Okay. So here is what's going to happen. All right. I am going to ask you a series of 10 questions, and you are going to answer them, well, as best as you can, and if you're able and willing. And at the end of these 10 questions, we will then raise our hands up to our cameras, and then we will say on the count of three, we will vote you in. And it will either be you're in, or we cast you the fuck out. And it is game over.
I'm nervous.
So far, nobody has been casted out yet. So like Larissa said last time, either you're part of it or you will make history and be the first one out.
I'm very nervous about this. I don't know what I'm saying. I'm sweating.
I love it. Good.
Is he gonna ask me?
Good. This is how it's supposed to be. Now, I gotta ask before we go. Here you go, Kelsey. Are you ready to endure the Tong trials?
I think I'm ready. I can try.
That confidence seems a little lacking. We're going to see if we can build that up. Here we go. All right. Now, because you are brand new and this is your first time on the show, I gave the same option to Larissa and I'm going to give the same option to you. Would you like to do the OG Tong trials or would you like to do the current Tong trial?
I don't know which one to choose. Somebody give me a hint.
No. Sorry.
Okay.
You have to choose.
The new.
All right.
Just like Larissa.
Yes.
Perfect. All right. Here we go. First question. All right. If you had a time machine, would you revisit your past or see your future, and why?
Yes, I would revisit my past and see a little bit of my future, because I have a few regrets here and there that I feel, you know, things could have gone differently in my life and my journey. So I will
accept that answer. Good job. Here we go, next question. Name a cartoon, show, or movie they should never, never do a reboot or remake of.
Okay, I can name a cartoon. I think Coyote and Roadrunner. I think they shouldn't even try to attempt.
Ooh. I agree.
Now, are you a little nervous that they're actually doing a live-action film of it? Did you hear about that? Yes, they are. They already made it. It was supposed to be on Warner Brothers, but they dropped it, and now they're shopping it out to somebody else. So, yeah,
Coyote versus Acme.
Yes,
starring John Cena.
Which I'm curious. What? All right, here we go. Next question. All right, we're all at a karaoke bar, and what is the one song you choose to give a performance of a lifetime?
Listen, guys, I'm a Beyonce fan, so I'm just going to say Single Ladies is the one.
Single Ladies? Hey. All right. Quick follow-up. Is the dance going to be included in your performance?
For sure. It will. There we go.
Yes. Uh-oh. All day. Okay.
You got some backup dancers there already. So, I think it's ready to go.
I am. Come on now. Next question. Name a hidden talent of yours that would surprise people.
I can whistle different whistles.
Oh, what does that mean?
Yeah.
As in I can do the farm girl whistle.
What's that? What's that shit where they do that? Or
no, it's just, do you want to hear it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's super ghetto, but I'm gonna do it anyway.
I don't give a shit. Let's go.
So what is ghetto.
Do it.
But I'm going to do it. So this is the farm girl whistle.
Okay.
I love it.
I'm so glad I added this question
to the trial.
You can do that. Fantastic.
And I can do
this. If that isn't added in season 4 somehow.
How? How did you learn such a thing? What is that?
I actually learned it from my mom. My mom grew up in the farms, and I suppose that's just what they do, spend time learning these whistles. I think it's for herding cows.
I love that. That's so unique. That is,
I love it.
I think I'm going to not try that ever. That's you. All right.
We're going to be rewinding that to watch. What did she do?
That's our next TikTok clip.
All that. Next question. Here we go. Finish this sentence. Never have I ever blank.
Never have I ever gone skydiving.
Oh,
same.
I still, I don't know. I haven't ever.
Never have I, never will I ever.
Never will I ever.
Never will I ever. And have never. I'm terrified of heights. I went
same.
Ziplining across the Victoria Falls in Zimbabwe. And I was traumatized. I was like, I'll never. I was shaking. I thought it would heal me, but it didn't.
I would do it, but I would scream like a little bitch all the way. I'd be like, oh my God, I don't want to. No. No. Next question. What is some advice that was given to you that you will never forget?
Some advice that I was given that I'll never forget. Very simple. Yep. Always be yourself.
Mm. Mm. Always. Simple and to the point. I like it.
Good one.
Now, next one. Between breakfast, lunch, or dinner, what is the best meal of the day?
I know it's different from a lot of people, but it's dinner.
Dinner? Okay.
For me.
What's your go-to dinner? What's your go-to?
Some ribeye steak. If we have vegetarians, I'm sorry. But,
oh, yes. Yeah, there's no vegetarians. Come on now. No.
What?
Who is you are?
Oh, that's right.
Oh, well, I'm sorry, but I like
No, that. You're not.
You're right, I'm not. You know I'm lying.
All right, I'm not a preachy vegan. I even cook meat for my family.
Next question. What is the no, I never did that. Describe your perfect day off.
My perfect day off.
Mm-hmm.
To be honest, I know I'm going to sound so cheesy. Just sitting at home, watching Warrior, of course. That is my perfect day off.
I can't believe she's the first one to say that. That is amazing.
Perfect.
Give this woman a raise.
She's doing good. I think the casting out is kind of out of the question now. Next question. We're towards the end here. Out of all the characters you've ever played so far, which one could be your best friend in real life?
My best friend in real life? I'm not just saying this because I'm on a Warrior show. Abigail. Guys, who would not want to be friends with Abigail? I would rather be best friends with Abigail.
That's a ride or die Abigail. Right there. Abigail's a ride or die.
Not a Yanda? It's not a Yanda? It's not a Yanda?
She was like royalty. No. That one would throw me under the bus.
Yes, she would.
She throw me under the bus. Abigail is my girl. That's who I'd be friends with.
Okay.
Love it.
And finally, all right.
Okay.
If you had a theme song every time you walked into a room, what song would it be?
Can I? Okay. I know. Theme song. Nothing can stop me. I'm all the way up.
Hey! I'm all the way up.
All the way up.
Nothing can stop me. I love it. I love it. Whoa. All right. So, Gazi, that concludes the Tong trial. So now I must convene with the Tong. Tong, raise your hands. We are going to decide her fate, whether she's in or she's casted out. 3, 2, 1. Congratulations, ladies and gentlemen, the newest member of our Tong, Gazi. Congratulations!
Thank you.
So amazing. Now there's no going back now, though. I'm sorry.
That wasn't so bad, right?
It's done. I'll fight for all of you, trust me.
Hey.
I don't even know the moves, but I've seen,
RCR said she was pre-approved here in Detroit Clan days ago. Had no doubt she had the chops and farm girl whistle.
Yep.
That's going right up there with what was the key dick punch?
Key finger dick punch.
Keeper Dick Punch and the fucking Farm Girl Whistle are now going to be t-shirts available on the
Hossie, if you get a chance, the episode of ours that had Tom and Nicholas Pauling, it's priceless. It is priceless.
It is
too funny.
So, so funny. this is great. So, and talked a little bit, you have some stuff coming up that you can't talk about, but coming up on Netflix. So, tell us a little bit about Soon Comes the Night. What's going on in Soon Comes the Night?
Soon Comes Night is it's based on a character, a guy called Colin Chowoke. So it's kind of, it has a bit of true events, like it's based on true events basically, but it's been adapted to a fiction. It's about a man who's fighting for the freedom of the people, but ends up becoming the biggest money heist lord in the 90s. So it's based on the true story. It's quite exciting. And yeah.
Damn. And we, as we all know, all the coolest stuff happened in the 90s.
Yes.
The 1890s.
Is that one where they speak Portuguese? Where is that, the story?
The story What's that? Is set in, it's set in South Africa. Are you asking me?
Yeah, because I've seen some Portuguese spoken on a trailer. I don't know if it's the same show. You also...
Oh, yeah. Sometimes I think Netflix translates or dubs. I don't know if they have what they dubs. But we speak English.
All right.
Yeah.
Love it.
<I see. laughs>
That's great. Does anybody have any follow-up questions?
One quick one.
There you go, Brad.
When you were auditioning for Abigail, you say you did some accent preparation, and to me, it's always fascinating when non-Americans do regional accents in the U.S. How did you get ready to play? I'm assuming she's from the American South. How did you get ready to play that girl when it comes to her speech?
Yeah, I did a lot of work and training in terms of the accent work, because I think initially when I auditioned, it was the general or generic sounding Southern accent. But then I started digging online. And then there's a great coach, Stephen, who is the Warrior dialect coach. So he helped me nuance the accent as well. So I think that helped a great deal. But yeah, a lot of research, watching and listening. Until I got closer to
that accent. This is perfect.
One of my favorite things about this show is the fact that we're all going to be doing at one point, I would hope it would be this year, but I don't know. We'll have to wait to see what Netflix says about a new season getting picked up. But I do love the fact that if we all meet up like we plan to and go to South Africa, everybody's there, like all our favorite people are already there.
Meet all of you.
It's gonna be the best, worst time ever. Come on!
Right now, folks, let's set the over under on how many days it'll take for Matt to get arrested.
Why just me?
Well, because I'm gonna be on my best behavior anytime I'm in any other country. Just because I'm just afraid, and nobody's gonna fuck with Frank, and nobody's gonna fuck with Steph, and Becca. I mean, come on now. So you're just gonna be the so, listen. I just like busting your balls. All right, let me just stab this.
Arrestee? Is that what we're saying?
Is it?
This face doesn't look like I. This isn't an arrestable face at all. Not one bit. Look at me. Never. Of course not.
Oh, I know. That's the face of someone that should be playing a superhero sidekick.
Superman.
She gave me Superman. Bong. All day.
Why?
Say something now.
Why do you have to give him this?
Say something now.
A couple questions before we get out of here.
Your name is Zeus.
Well, hey, don't. Yeah, it's. I wish it was after the god, but unfortunately, it's after a wrestler.
Really?
RCR says, "What episodes are you most proud of your performance where you felt really Abigail?" So, like during the show, was there a moment? Because this is a moment that I always say with all actors, we're all chasing our dragon, like chasing the dragon when it comes to acting, is for that performance where we lose ourselves, where we don't remember even saying anything. Do you have a time like that with Abigail?
Yeah, I do. I think it came about during the, remember when the guys come into the bar, the two gentlemen who come in and rob the bar, and then there's just havoc, chaos, and there's just so much going on. I think from that point moving forward, I've already now started stepping into this, you know, into the character. Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah,
I think I remember that too. That was a powerful scene, and that really did like kind of cement you as, you know, hey, you're in this. Like we're no longer worried about you as, you know, a one-off character or a couple times character. Now you, like, you're in this. Like you've now become fully in, like, a fan favorite, where we're fully invested in your character. And the bombshell blurred, still trying to buy off Matt, saying that he's a stand-up guy, even though she was trying to steal his job.
No, there's not enough sucking up in the world that's going to allow you to get in my good graces. We love you,
bombshell.
Not enough.
Not only do we love bombshell, we love all of our fans that tune in each and every week. When you join in for the lives, it's great. But don't forget, you can also catch us every Monday. The podcast go up on our YouTube channel, and then also on our other channels, right, Matt?
Yes.
Yeah, so you can check us out on the Hop This Way show on YouTube on Monday, and then our podcast as well. You can find on Spotify, Google Podcast, Amazon, and Apple Podcast. All the stuff you see along the bottom of the ticker if you are watching along. If you're listening, I'm sorry.
If you're listening, everything he just said, semi-fast, just go back, rewind, listen to it again, and then just type that shit in. So that's
there it. You go.
I gotta do it.
The easiest way possible. This has been a ton of fun, Galaxy. I honestly can't thank you so much. Oh, and thank you, Derek Chin, for reminding me. Buy the merch. Look at Derek's profile picture there with that nice mug, that nice Hop This Way t-shirt. That's right, folks. Those aren't just, you know, ooh, just for the cast. Look at those nice little Hop This Way tumblers, Hop This Way shirt, Hop This Way mug. It's all there. And if you wanted to get your own, you could do so at the Hop This Way show.myshopify.com. And stuff like that does help the show out and us. So
we appreciate
you doing what you can. Yeah. You help us with our very expensive North American groceries.
All day. I'm a starving boy and I need to eat and grow.
And we have some new ones that we're working on, and we're going to put those out there. We have a couple, right? Three, I think.
I love them.
You want one of everything. You're getting it.
Yeah.
I want that jacket. That's what I want. Who do I need to yell at for this jacket? I want it. Like, what the hell?
Yes, Shannon Lee gave it to me. So
I love how she low-key name dropped Shannon Lee. She's like,
Shannon. She gave me this jacket. She said, turn around. And I said, okay. And I put my hands in the sleeves, and she graced it. Thanks.
When you put it on, did you feel more power right away? That's what I wanted to know.
I did. I felt like I could kung fu fight, but I can't even do any moves. But I'm telling you, I'm going to learn. I feel great in this jacket.
I love it. Between the jacket.
Aggressively. Pa, 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 pa.
With the jacket and Brett Chen, you will get there.
I'll get there.
I love it. All right, folks. This has been a lot of fun. Again, Galaxy, so much. Thank you so much for coming on the show and taking time out of your day. You're in South Africa. You're 7 hours ahead of us. So thank you for staying up late and doing this. Lots of love to you. And thank you for joining our Tong. Anything you'd like to impart on us on your way out?
I think you guys are awesome. Everyone needs to watch this channel. I enjoyed myself. I'm gonna watch all the other episodes for sure and buy the merchandise. Thank you so much for having me. Really, really
happy. Hard.
Of course. Get there. Go out and get it. Thank you so much for joining. Yes, February will be time to binge watch Warrior on Netflix. Folks, make sure you do. Go on Netflix, check it out. Derek Chin, side note, sitting down to watch a playoff game between my Niners and the Packers. The first commercial, it was a Domino's commercial. Yes, haha.
I love it.
LOL.
It's still not, Chua's got me beat in those commercials. So, folks, lots of fun. Lots of love to you all. I hope you all have a great day. And come on, keep that warrior pride going. And remember, when we go out of this show, we do it one way.
To the right. You're right.
To your right. And we all have to say, on three, one, two, three.
Let's get sticky.
Thank you. Peace out, everyone. Lots of love. We will see you all next time.